Number two is where we're starting. And actually, the Sunday school lesson this morning, we're going to jump. I'm going to find my right notes here. I'm going to get the right thing in front of me. I'm going to keep that so I make sure I give you what goes in those blanks. Now, eventually, if you pay attention, you'll see. In fact, if you read the story in the scripture we're going to look at, you'll see the answers that go into those blanks. But we encourage you to use your Bible. And if nothing else, you can find the right answers in your Bible. Let me ask you something this morning. Have you ever told a lie? Has anybody never told a lie before? Good, I'm glad we don't have any liars here. I'm going to say, if you haven't told a lie, you're lying to me. Everyone's told. You know, when I was a kid, I tried to tell some lies. Believe it or not, I used to get in trouble in school. I used to get in a whole lot of trouble in school. I was quiet, but I was a quiet smart aleck. And I was a quiet rebel. And I tried to get away with some things. And I remember going into the, before the teacher, then the principal. By the way, when the principal had a big paddle on the wall, I never visited him then. I knew better than to get in trouble then because I knew what that paddle was used for. But we got a new principal when I was about in third grade that took that paddle down. Then it didn't scare me much to go to the principal's office anymore. And I thought I could get away with lying about some things. But I found out that my eyes give it away when I lie. What do you mean by that? For some reason, I thought, what's wrong with the lights in here? I'm in the principal's office having a good friendly visit, trying to tell him a lie. All of a sudden, I thought, something's wrong with the lights in here. They seem to be blinking a lot. And then I realized, my eyes are blinking. It's a twitching. I just started doing this. And it was just this eye. I don't know why it is. Boy, there's a dead giveaway. But sometimes, you know, mom and dad can tell when you're lying. Principals can tell when you're lying. School teachers can tell when you're lying. And more important, there's somebody that sees everything. Somebody that knows everything. And he's watching you day and night. He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. No, we're not talking about Santa Claus. We're talking about God. In your Bible, in Acts chapter number 4, we're going to start in Acts chapter number 4. And in verse number 31 is where I want to start. I want to get to the right page here. Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 31. Now, we're not going to read all the scriptures here, but I'm going to show you where we're starting. It says in verse number 31, and when they had prayed, by the way, that's a great place to start everything. When they had prayed. What a difference it makes when we pray. We start the service off by praying. What a difference it makes if you start your day off praying, talking to God. What a difference it makes if you start your school day off praying. What a difference it makes when you're doing anything, to start off by praying. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We do that by praying. When we pray, everything's going to be okay. And oh, that God's people would learn how to pray. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Now, we're going to get into more of what was going on in these chapters a little bit later. But for right now, we're going to take something that's kind of sandwiched in the middle of all the narration that's going on from Acts chapter number 2 all the way through Acts chapter number 5. And what we're seeing in those chapters is what is, no doubt, the greatest revival any church has ever experienced. There were 5,000 people added to that church. That's just counting the men. There was probably many more when we count the women and children in these chapters. And many people were saved and added to the church. They were saved, they were baptized, and they became church members and obedient. God was doing a great thing, and the devil didn't like it. They tell you when God's doing something in your life, the devil doesn't like it. When you come to church, the devil doesn't like it. When you read your Bible, the devil doesn't like it. When you obey, the devil doesn't like it. When you do right, the devil doesn't like it. The devil likes it when you do the wrong thing instead of the right thing. The devil likes it when you lie. God was doing a great thing. And the devil was out to attack. He brought persecution to the church. That didn't seem to work. In fact, that only made things better. The harder it got for God's people, the better God's people got. the more they shared the gospel, the more they were told not to share the gospel. So the devil came up with a plan to destroy the church from within. He took something good and tried to destroy it. In Acts chapter number 4, we're introduced to a man named Joseph. His name is also Barnabas. You'll see it in Acts chapter number 4. And some of you are nodding your head like you already saw it. And Barnabas was a very good man. In fact, he's a very well-known person throughout the Bible. He was the one that when the apostle Paul, what he would later call Saul, later on when Saul got saved, Barnabas was the one that came to help him, to encourage him, to disciple him. Barnabas was the one that pastored the church in Antioch, where the disciples were first called Christians. And he said, "I need some help over here in this church." So he got the apostle Paul, or Saul as he was called back then, to come and be his assistant pastor in the church in Antioch. When God decided that he needs to send missionaries out around the world, he chose Barnabas and Saul to be the first missionaries. Barnabas was a great man. His name, original name here, was Joseph. But he was given the name Barnabas because of his character. The name Barnabas means the son of, did somebody see what goes in there? Consolation. The son of consolation. That's what's on your paper there. He's the name means the son of consolation. That means he's a very caring, giving, loving, compassionate person. And he gave everything. He owned some land. He sold all his land. And he sold out for the Lord. He said, "Everything I have belongs to God. I'm going to sell everything that I own and I'm going to put it in the offering basket." We don't have an offering basket. Oh, too bad. You can't do that. We got a box over there. We put it in fact, that's probably more like what they had. Or maybe they just gave it to the apostles, laid it at the apostles' feet. He sold everything he had and gave it all to the apostles. "This is no longer my life, it's his life." And boy, people thought, "Wow, what a great man Barnabas is. What a great man Joseph, Barnabas, the son of..." Maybe that's where he first got his name, the son of consolation, because he was so generous, because he was so caring, he's so compassionate to everybody. And then, of course, everybody's rejoicing. God's using the church. God's doing great things. And then people start looking around. Wow, he really thinks he's something, getting all that praise from everybody. "Well, who does he think he is? He's no better than us. If I had something, I'd try to sell it and give it, but I don't have anything." So, and people, some folks, you know, they start murmuring about everything. If you give some people $1 million bill, they'll complain because it's not all $1,000 bills. You give somebody $100 bill. I know they make one of those. I've seen some of those sometimes. And they'll complain because it was a small change. They'll complain about everything. They'll find fault with everything. Anything somebody does, and they don't just come right out and say it. They just kind of think those thoughts. And they think, "Boy, you know, maybe I deserve more recognition than I'm getting." And one of those men was Ananias, and he had a wife named what? Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira. And they saw an opportunity. "Hey, Barnabas is pretty famous in the church right now. We could be pretty famous. I tell you what," Ananias, he went home to Sapphira one night and said, "I tell you what, let's do. We've got this land over here that we're not really, you know, we're fixing to upgrade anyways. We're thinking of moving anyways. So why don't we sell our property and then we'll go to church and we'll give all our money to the church, except nobody will know this but you and me. We'll keep back part of it because, you know, we got needs that we got to meet. We got things that we got to take care of. But we'll tell everybody that we gave everything and we'll be just as famous and just as great as Barnabas. Wouldn't that be great?" And Sapphira says, "Oh, yeah, as long as we keep enough money for me to buy new jewelry, new set of clothes, and we'll be just fine." They sold their land, but they kept back some of it. And then they came up that Sunday morning and said, "Someone's about to be very generous." Some of you know where that comes from. "And I'm going to give all my money. I want everybody to know this is all the money I have. We've sold everything we have. Hey, just like Brother Barnabas. Boy, aren't we good. Hey, you want to pat me on the back there, Fred? Oh, thank you. That feels so much better. And boy, I really am somebody. And I gave all my money to the Lord, but did they give all their money? Uh-oh. Well, nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to know what we did. You know, God gives Christians special gifts. And one of those gifts the Apostle Peter is going to exercise here. You know, some folks talk about the gifts of speaking in tongues, or healings, or having faith, or all these things. And in 1 Corinthians 12 talks about, lists a number of gifts. A lot of those gifts were given as sign gifts to prove that this is a messenger from God that has these gifts, has these abilities. In fact, in Acts chapter number 2, a lot of people take the tongues talking that happened in chapter number 2 and they imitate that and say, oh yeah, God's working. And they're lying is what they're doing, because they don't imitate everything, but they're using that as a sign that they're doing something and God's really blessing them. But Peter had a gift that I've always thought, as a pastor, forget the speaking in tongues, forget the interpreting tongues, forget the healing, forget all that. One of the greatest gifts that any pastor could use is the gift of knowledge, of knowing things without being told, because they're supposed to know everything that they're not told. And sometimes the preacher preaches on something and people think, well, you must have the gift of knowledge. No, I was just preaching and God done told me something that, and you're guilty of it maybe. No, you just told me that. But I sometimes wish I had the gift of knowledge. Because when Ananias brought that offering in, by the way, Sapphira wasn't with him when he came to church. Where was she at? She was at home fixing her hair, putting on her makeup, and trying out her new outfits that she bought with the extra money. So she was going to be late. After all, she was a woman and she's a Baptist, so that makes her double late. So Ananias comes into the building and says, look at my offering I gave to the Lord. And Peter said, hey, that's great, Ananias. But you're lying. Nobody knows. Where's my wife? Did she tell you? No, God done told me. God told me that you're lying. And not only are you lying to me and to God's people, you're lying to the Holy Ghost. You're lying to God Himself. And Ananias, standing there, boy, he's starting to get nervous now. Maybe his eyes start to twitch. Huh? Maybe his knees are starting to knock. He knows he's been caught. He knows he can't get out of this one. Somehow, Peter knows that must be the supernatural knowledge, the gift of knowledge that Peter has. And Peter knows, and Ananias, all of a sudden, boom, dropped over dead. Right there in front of church. Right there, giving his offering. And Peter said, hey, I got you three men. I deputize you as ushers today. Why don't you guys get some towels, wrap this guy up, carry him out. In the shed back there, there's some shovels. Get the shovels out of there, go dig a hole and bury Ananias out back here. Maybe that's where they started putting cemeteries in church buildings, huh? I wonder about that. Why do they have cemeteries next to church buildings? That's for people, for Ananias to drop dead in church. They can just bury him and continue on with the service. So the service continued on after they carried Ananias out. And, of course, Sapphira wasn't there. She's still home. Oh, it's a good thing they didn't have cell phones back then. That would ruin everything, right? Just like they do now. By the way, is my cell phone off? There it is. Oh no, I'm going to die. I don't know where my cell phone is. Never mind. Sapphira finally came moseying in 3 hours later. She came walking in the back door. Oh boy, she looked like a bride adorned for her wedding. She had the most beautiful hair. She went to the beauty. She had her nails done. She had a new outfit. Maybe she had some new jewelry. And it took her a long time to get all this stuff put together. Some folks take a while to get things put together just right. And finally, she came trotting in 3 hours later. She came walking all the way up the front. Look at me. Everybody's watching. Because they knew something that she didn't know. She thought they were watching because her and her husband had been so generous. And she comes all the way up to the front of the church, sits in the front pew and says, I wonder where Ananias is. He must be off getting some kind of special button or something. Because because he got this award. They must have taken him back to say, hey, look at how great he is. Maybe he's back designing the shrine that they're going to build for him. But he's really somebody, and I'm going to be somebody with him pretty soon. And she came down and sat down in the front pew and with a big old smile on her face, and boy, we really are somebody, aren't we? And Peter said, Myra, good to see you today. Glad you made it, hon. Could you stand up and give us a testimony of what God's done in your life, what you've done for God? Oh, yeah. And we decided, just like Brother Barnabas, we're going to give everything that we have to the Lord. So we went and sold all our possessions, and we gave all. My husband was already, he gave it all to the Lord, didn't he? Oh, yeah. And Peter said, so you and Ananias are in this together. And she's thinking in the background, oh yeah, they're going to build a shrine deck for him back there, and then they're going to build one for me right next to it. What great Christians we are. What wonderful people we are, because we've done so much for the Lord. I'm going to get the same recognition this. And she said, yes, Peter. Oh, God's been so good to us. And we've sacrificed so much, and we love the Lord so much, and we've been so faithful in serving Him and generous in giving everything we have to the Lord. And then Peter said, and all of a sudden there's a door opening in the back of the building, and these three guys come walking in all dirty. They just leaned their shovels against the wall. You heard a shovel clunk against the wall when they came in. They have dirt on their knees, kind of muddy boots on, or muddy feet. I don't think those were the good old days when you didn't wear shoes. Huh? Amen! That's good right there. They came in with dirty feet, dirty hands. They didn't have time to wash up. And boy, those were the good old days. You could just come in dirty and sit in church and have a great old time. And sit down and have a Thanksgiving meal with dirty hands and everything. Yeah! Isn't that great, kids? Yeah! Let's go roll in the dirt for a while. Let's go get our food. But they saw these three guys coming in that were all dirty, and everybody's head kind of turned around. And Sapphire said, wait a minute, I'm the main attraction here. I'm the one everybody should be looking at. And Peter said, Sapphira, these three men just buried your husband blind to God. And they come back to bury you. And she, ooh, what a church. I've never been in a church service like that. I hope I never am in a church service like that, because I might be the first one to drop over. Because all of us are not what we think we are, what others think we are. You know, it's one thing to lie to other people. It's even worse to lie to yourself, and all of us are experts at that. But even worse than that is lying to God. And God doesn't mess around. And God used Ananias and Sapphira for an example of what lie to God. Sapphira dropped dead. Peter said, okay, you three men just buried her husband. You got another job to do. We'll see who comes in the next 3 hours. I tell you what, I that's why I want to be in church early. I don't want to come late. I might not know what was going on. I might be the next one to drop over. You didn't show up on time? Okay, your turn. No, I'm just kidding. But just think, what a strange thing that would have been to lie to God. God struck me dead. And I asked earlier, how many have lied before? You know what lying is? That's a sin. Not only a sin against mom and dad or whoever you lied to, it's a sin against God. And God said one of the commandments is, thou shalt not lie. And thou shalt not bear false witness. Not lie. And if we lie in every sin, we are worthy of death. Every sin that we commit has a penalty of death attached to it. God offers mercy for us through Jesus Christ. And mercy is only found in Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes when I was a kid and I got caught in a lie, I had some consequences I had to pay for telling that lie. I had some punishments that I had to fess up to because I told a lie. God says the wages of sin is death. What I deserve because of my lie is eternal death, separation from God. God offers mercy because Jesus died on the cross for all of my sin. When He died on the cross, He took all my sin upon Himself. The Bible says He who knew no sin became sin for us so we might be made the righteousness of God. And He offers mercy. He doesn't give us what we deserve. That's His mercy. But then He offers us grace. He says, I'm going to let you live. I'm glad that He doesn't do with us what He did with Ananias and Sapphira. Every one of us would be dead right now. There wouldn't have one of us that would have walked into church today. They lied to God. And the Bible says because of what happened to Ananias and Sapphira in chapter number 5, I'm going to read some of these verses. I can put my glasses on so I can read them though. I want you to see what God says in chapter number 5, and let's see. Verse number 11 says, "And great," what's that word? Fear. I guarantee you, I'd be afraid to lie to God right about now if I just saw that happen. "Great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things." People in town heard what happened in the church. Did you hear what happened out of the church? Yeah, Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to God and God struck them dead. Folks were afraid around town. Boy, don't mess with that God that Peter's preaching about. Don't mess with that God that rose from the dead and is able to take life from other people. In verse number 12, says, "By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." And the rest, look at verse number 13, "And the rest durst no man join himself to them. People magnified them." Oh, those church people, don't mess with them. They got God on their side. I'm not gonna do anything wrong with those church. And they were afraid. And they said, "Well, I'm not gonna join that church if I'm not gonna be sold out for God. I want to be a wholehearted Christian if I'm gonna live for God." And the believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. God continued to bless when God's people had a renewed fear of God. You know, in the world that we live in today, sometimes we as Christians say, "Well, there's no fear of God in the world today." And there is no fear of God. People blaspheme God. People mock God. The things of God are laughed at. Some of the things that I see young people wearing today, the blasphemous things and the things, terrible thing that they say about our God, and there's no fear of God. Hey, there's no, and they're told constantly on television and at school and everywhere they go, "There's no God. When you die, it's just over. And if there's a heaven, everybody goes there. Even good dogs go to heaven." Nobody knows what that reference is anymore. Everybody gets to go to heaven. There's no, you don't have to worry about anything. God loves everybody. God wouldn't do it. And they say all that, and everybody believes that. And most people don't think there is a God, and they just blast God and laugh at God. But I guarantee you, after what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, nobody was doing that. And nobody in church was going to mess and take their chances with telling God a lie. Yeah, if I'm going to live for God, I'm going to live wholeheartedly for God. I'm going to give Him half of my life. I'm going to give Him all my life. I'm going to give Him everything. I'm not going to pretend to be living for God and live another way in secret. And the reason the world doesn't fear God is because God's people don't fear God like they should. Oh, that's hard hitting when you think about that. If we fear God, there's a whole lot of things that I think we'd be afraid to do. We wouldn't dare start the day without seeking Him in prayer. We wouldn't dare put other things ahead of serving Him. We wouldn't dare go a day without spending some time in the Bible to get in our instructions. We wouldn't dare not tell our friends about the Lord Jesus Christ, who we know is our Savior. If we feared God, if we knew that there's a God in heaven that not only loves us, but we ought to fear Him. And the church of God ought to fear God. And because there's no fear of God in our eyes, there's no fear of God in the world's eyes. And I'm convinced of that. I've been for years. And I've asked God, and the psalmist said, Lord, teach me to fear Thee, that I may know the fear of God. But because they feared God, God used them in a great way. And all that we can learn to fear God again. Learn to be thankful for all that He's done for us. Learn to be grateful for the blessings that He gives to us every day. God is so good to us. And we think that, oh yeah, I deserve this. I deserve this. Be careful. We think that we can live our life without God. How many times I visit, I had one yesterday again, inviting them to church and life, their family's a mess. I said, we'll certainly be praying for you. I mentioned his family to a couple of people in prayer. And I talked to them. They said, oh yeah, we tried God. So we need to be in God's house to pray with God's people. Well, we don't have to be in church to pray. We can disobey God and do what we want. God's not fair because God's not blessed us. And all these terrible things have happened to us. Because they want to live the life that they choose, call themselves a Christian. That's the motto of many people today. And I'm grateful as we've seen what happened this year in our church, that even when terrible tragedies take place, God is still good and God is still faithful. God is still worthy of everything. He takes those trials and makes us better in those trials. And we'll talk about that actually tonight. I'm looking forward. That's what drew me to these chapters that I asked you to read this week in Acts chapter number 2, 3, 4, and 5. I'm looking forward to tonight. But, let's be honest. Let's be real with God. The verse that I'm going to have up on the screen earlier is, come boldly unto the throne of grace. Come boldly. The word boldly means openly, honestly, nothing to hide. Just be real with God. The word in reality has a sense of standing naked. Nothing to hide. Completely, everybody sees everything. Well, that'd be embarrassing, wouldn't it? And by the way, it's embarrassing to come boldly before the throne of God, before the throne of grace. It's embarrassing to confess your sins, but I'm glad that God, we do that, offers us mercy and then offers us grace. We do come boldly to the throne of God. Let's be honest with God. Let's not be like Ananias and Sapphira. Yes, God, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. Oh, I'm as good as other people. No, don't step by. Doesn't matter how good you are, nobody's good enough. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us are worthy of His grace. So, what goes in the blanks there? Joseph, a generous Christian. He was named Barnabas, which means the son of what? Consolation. Ananias and his wife, what's her name? Sapphira, wanted the church to think they were generous as Barnabas. Peter told Ananias, thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And after the death of Ananias, Sapphira, after the death of Ananias and Sapphira, I'm sorry, I'll read the right verse right. Great what came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Great what? Fear. Great fear. Father, I pray that you teach us